Welcome back, Radio Laurier. It is Thursday. It is 7 o'clock. My name is Aaron, and you are listening to RL News. Joining me here today is my lovely, esteemed co-host. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi out there. That's Garrison. Welcome to another week.
Oh, and another week it is. If you are listening, it's 7 o'clock. There is only 1 hour left until the Wilfrid Laurier Union Students Union election closes. So if you're listening, please do us all a favor. If you have access to a laptop, a phone, anything, there's an hour left to vote for the candidates of the next year, president, board of directors, board of governors, and Senate. Please, it'll take like 30 seconds. Please do your duty and vote if you care. I've been doing so many interviews for Radio Laurier. Please don't let it all be in vain. But we have a big segment of news today, and for all of you who may be listening for the first time, RL News is a weekly broadcast where an amalgamated effort between the court and Radio Laurier is to bring you some of the important people and events and things that are going on in our school and our community. We get to talk and we get to giving you a little bit of information. If you're more of an audio versus a visual person, we give you a little bit of a summary of what's going on in our area. So we got a lot going on. We've got some changes to the Ontario student tuition sparking some controversy at Laurier. We're saying bye-bye to the Bomb Shelter Pub. Winter Carnival controversy. Annual Women's March rally comes to Waterloo. Laurier student poll looking at some early election results, or I guess, well, at this point, it's late election results. Reviewing some of the Wilfrid Laurier University Students Union presidential candidate dishes, Gillette's quote-unquote controversy in their newest advertising, and Tyler Fassel, the goaltending rookie extraordinaire. So before we get into it, I just want to let you know that the opinions and the views depicted on the Radio Laurier News Show do not necessarily reflect the views and values of the court or Radio Laurier. They solely reflect the views of the individuals present on the show. So with that being said, how are you doing this week, Garrison?
It's been a busy week.
It's been a busy week. Oh, it's been a busy month.
Lots of drama, lots of school, all this election stuff.
Oh, geez. I'm excited for it to be over with.
Very excited.
It's been so busy, so tiring, so many people to talk to. It's been great, though.
Mm-hmm.
Been getting to talk to a lot of people. Been finding myself getting a lot more invested in mm-hmm. the Students' Union.
I'm really excited for these election results as well. Oh. I think it's pretty close. I think everybody had an idea mm-hmm. that Tariq was going to win last year. It was like there seemed to be like he stood out a little bit, but I think it's quite a tight race this year.
Yeah, no, I wasn't even as invested last year, so I'm definitely going to have to agree with you there. But right. It is going to be very close this mm-hmm. year. Mm-hmm. I think when we were making our endorsements, it's tough. It's very tough to have any sort of an understanding of who might pull out ahead, but mm-hmm. we will get into that in a little bit. But the first story we are going into, we're talking about something that all of you might know at this point. Some of the changes that have been made to student tuition. The Ontario government has officially announced a number of changes to Ontario students' tuition fees, the Ontario Student Assistance Program, or OSAP, as well as the structure of ancillary fees. So a news release published on the 17th by the Ontario government titled Government for the People to Lower Student Tuition Burden by 10% stated that the first ever province-wide tuition reduction will make college and university more affordable and accessible for students and families while empowering students to choose how fees are spent. So Marilee Fullerton, who is the Minister of Training, Colleges, and Universities, argued that by lowering the tuition rate across the province, they will be ensuring that, quote, all qualified Ontario students will have more affordable access to high-quality skills, training, and education. This plan is in part of the provincial government's strategy to improve, quote, post-secondary education affordability and will be refocusing OSAP so that it remains sustainable and viable for students in the future. They also believe that it will help deal with a critical issue in their eyes, which is giving OSAP funding to those with very high incomes with, quote, virtually no meaningful criteria for success, and that instead of using OSAP to indirectly subsidize future rounds of tuition hikes, they will instead focus their resources on the families with the greatest needs. So rather controversial, but this is the argument that the Ontario provincial government is making. It also noted some changes to what fees students may be paying for certain campus services. So ancillary fees, such as essential campus health and safety initiatives, will be compulsory, so it means you can't opt out of them, but others may become optional. So it means that students will be able to quote-unquote opt out and won't have to pay for certain services, activities, or associations that do not necessarily benefit them. This includes stuff like the Health and Wellness Center at Laurier. It includes stuff like the Students' Union. It includes stuff like WLUSIP. The release also provided some statistics for tuition reductions. I think it was anywhere between $300 to $1,100 for tuition. I mean, it's pretty good. But in response to this, Deborah McClatchy, who is Laurier's president, as well as its students' union, have released some statements confirming their official stance on the provincial government's decisions. McClatchy, in particular, noted that, quote, the tuition reduction represents a positive impact on some students, and I agree. But she also said that the reduction in revenue will have a significant effect on our university. Now, she says this because the tuition reduction is just a straight reduction. The provincial government is not planning on subsidizing or replacing this lost revenue for colleges or universities. I know that the Conestoga College in particular is quite outraged by this because I believe they said they're losing something like $60 million in revenue in the next year. We can confirm that for you. But it puts universities in a bit of a tight spot because now they're kind of just losing almost 10% of their revenue across the board. She also said that as we consider our challenges, we will keep Laurier's vision, mission, and values at the forefront. The student experience and quality of our academic programs will remain top priorities for Laurier. We will continue to do all that we can to maintain the excellence of our university and to protect and support the services of our students to be successful in their academic programs. I am confident in the ability of the Laurier community to work together to address these challenges. However, the Students' Union at Laurier also advocated in favor of combining tuition cuts with, quote, increased government investment in post-secondary institutions. Their release argues that Ontario universities already receive the lowest levels of per-student public funding in Canada, and that, quote, the provincial government is limiting accessibility and imposing a greater debt burden on students. In response to the cuts, as a number of students have spoken out about this, on January 22nd, between 4 p.m. to 5:30 p.m., a number of concerned student activists collected at the Veterans Green at the corner of Hazel Street and University Avenue to demonstrate their collective voice against the provincial government's decision. So Liberal MPP Mitzi Hunter as well, who is the former Minister of Advanced Education and Skills Development, spoke at the event, which called itself a peaceful protest. Now, I did happen to go to the protest and see some of the students, and I gotta say, a lot of dedication to those kids, because it was freezing on Tuesday.
I think that was the coldest day of the year so
far. Absolutely freezing. Mm-hmm. So, like, I mean, even if you don't agree with them, you gotta hand it to them for sticking it out for like
something
an hour
must
and a half.
Be motivating them there.
Oh, so Garrison, how do you feel about the changes to the tuition?
There's a lot to discuss here, and I kind of want to clarify, or at least maybe get your interpretation.
Yeah, no, of course.
Especially of the giving OSEP funding to those with very high incomes.
Yes.
With virtually no meaningful criteria for success. Yes. People with high incomes don't qualify for OSEP. I'm not sure how do you interpret that?
I thought that was the case already, mm-hmm. that people passed a certain income level. I don't know what it is.
It's about $180,000.
Okay.
If it's a dual or a single income. Yeah.
They don't qualify for OSEP.
Correct.
So I don't exactly know what the justification for that was.
Because that's already excluded.
That's already the
OSEP's
case.
OSEP's already targeted towards anybody below that.
So I wonder what specific income levels they're discussing. Do you think like maybe above 100K might be?
I guess that would be
the case.
But that's a very aggressive move because universities are also independent. So, I mean, the name of the policy is to take away their funding by 10%. And like, how is that even a call that the government should make? It's a very controlling decision, which I can see why this is
extremely controversial. It's really telling.
Yeah.
No. And like, I would love to see a more conservative opinion on this, maybe even something, you know, devil's advocate, because I legitimately find a lot of difficulty in how you might be able to rationalize a decision like this. Mm-hmm. But it's very telling what Ford's envision or vision for the future is, especially with the cuts to or the cuts and changes to education, I would say, because recently the provincial government announced a series of cuts to the expansion of a lot of university campuses as well, including
our Milton campus,
Laurier's Milton campus. So I mean, they saved $300 million with that decision. I don't know exactly how much they plan to save with this decision, but yeah. I mean, Ontario's open for business, I guess. Other businesses, not education so much right now.
Yeah, definitely cutting back on the education. And I think, it's a tough time. Hopefully it comes around. I think a lot of times I've seen in other conservative governments where it switches from a liberal government to a conservative government, and then there's a lot of cuts initially, and then there's a lot of growth after that once the budget is balanced and whatnot. But
yeah,
I think personally this is a lot. A lot has affected me, and it doesn't usually happen that way.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just me becoming an adult.
Maybe we're just whining because we're liberals.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Maybe. And maybe it's because
don't
of
take
this
my
opt-out.
Free money.
Yeah, with LUCIP and all of the non-essential services, it's a very big deal for us, particularly here at LUCIP.
Yeah. So the next couple months for non-essential or quote-unquote non-essential services, we know we're essential. The next couple of months are going to be a little bit hectic as all the various associations at Laurier attempt to advocate that they are essential and that they should not be opt-outable. Thankfully, as far as ancillary fees goes and profit being or revenue being given to certain associations, it's not being changed to an opt-in strategy where you have to physically, you know, check a box that, yes, I want to give this amount of money to this organization. Because if that were the case, I don't think a lot of organizations on the campus would be alive much longer.
Right.
But thankfully, even if they're being changed to an opt-out strategy, they still have to, you know, go through the effort of opting out. And thankfully, the one thing we can rely on is students not wanting to take the extra step to do something. So we'll keep our fingers crossed for that.
And we'll see what becomes solidified in the future, because there's still a lot of scrambling adjusting to these new policies.
Oh, is there ever. We are going to take just a short intermission, but then we will be back and we're going to be talking about the Bomb Shelter Pub.
Streetcars are sleeping, I'm a long way from home. The moon is full, it's hiding behind the smoke. Pour me another, would you light me one? I've never been so alone in a city. Trying my best not to wind up on the floor.
All right, we are back, and we're talking Bomb Shelter. So if you do not know, the Bomb Shelter, which is the University of Waterloo's on-campus bar and restaurant, similar to what Wilf's has at Laurier, has officially closed as of last month. The once bustling pub's closure came after over 40 years of serving Waterloo students with fine pub fare, live entertainment, trivia nights, and events. So again, similar to what Laurier has. This decision was reached after the realization that over $1 million of lost revenue could not be recuperated. So $1 million over a period of 5 years is a ridiculous amount of money to lose. So I definitely understand and agree with the decision that it's just not profitable. So with renovations for other buildings and complexes currently underway, the vice president of operations and finance for Waterloo's Federation of Students, calls themselves the Feds, believes that this decision came at an appropriate time. While the Bomb Shelter had been closed during the fall exam period in December, the announcement of its closure was given to staff members, making it considerably abrupt news. So it was not a lot of warning was not given to staff members. So we, the court also covered it sometime last year, before December, I believe. A couple of the people were quite outraged at how quickly the closure was announced. So, following the Bomb Shelter's final event, which is calling itself Farewell Bomber Alumni Send-Off, which will be taking place on January 26th, which is Saturday, I believe. The Federation of Students will begin the process of redesigning the space to fit the needs and wants of the students. So very likely the general plan for the Bomb Shelter will be food and beverage oriented and hopefully continue to provide UW students with an environment to socialize, but completely refurbished and rebranded. So similar to what the Turret has undergone, but likely not as extensive because they likely don't have the money. Mm-hmm. So New Year's Eve 2.0, which was the Bomb Shelter's final 19-plus celebration, took place last Wednesday and had a wonderful turnout of students. Farewell Bomber will be taking place this Saturday and will be the final day of service at the pub. It'll be running from 3 p.m. until 11 p.m. All ages welcome. Any updates regarding the continuing progress of the Bomb Shelter's reconstruction can be found at UW's Federation of Students website. So that's pretty sad. Imagine after 40 years, business like that closed down. What do you think would happen if Wilf's and the Turret closed down? What would happen?
I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. Mm-hmm. I think especially with Laurier's community of business people and entrepreneurs.
Oh, good point.
I think like when Veritas went through a renovation and the Turret's gone through a renovation, I think it would be an improvement if something did close down.
Yeah.
It would be replaced with something better. I think that's just our community. That's our environment.
I might, you know, I was thinking the opposite, but I think you've changed my mind. I think with how many business people there are around here, they're kind of a little bit like sharks.
And all those.
They're just waiting, for the opportunity to swoop in there and put in something better. So, you know what? I'm encouraged to agree with you, but...
That's the hope for Bomb Shelter then too.
That is the hope. Hopefully someone comes in and they say, I want to do something better. But that bears the next question. Do you think on-campus social hubs are necessary for maintaining welcoming environments at universities?
Definitely. I think when I came in on my tour, I think it was March of 2014 or something like that. Some of the things that I remember was the residence tour, but then also that there was the Turret and the Wilf's. And when we came by those places, they like stuck out in my memory.
Yeah.
I remember those parts of the tours. I thought that was a really cool part of a campus.
100%.
I didn't really expect that. I think Laurier is unique because it's like in one city block, basically.
Yeah.
So touring Queens, they don't really have the same sort of thing. But we have a hub, and I think that stands out, and that makes us really great.
I agree, and I think with a university campus as concentrated as Laurier, having a hub like that is really great because then you almost have kind of a Cheers situation where I work at Wilf, so there's a lot of regulars, a lot of people who come in, you know, every couple of days. You see their faces, you know their names, you know, they start getting to know you, and it becomes a really nice place to be, and I think an absence of that would be a real detriment to a lot of universities because in a place like Laurier, where the big welcoming committee is such a draw for a lot of people, I think having a place like Wilf's or the Turret is kind of, as you said, the hub of all that, right?
It's more inclusive, I think, as well, especially an election event tonight.
Yeah,
if you say it's at Wilf's, everybody knows where it is and they can show up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, for sure. That's that's a great other point. It's a great place for events and things to take place. And I don't know. It just makes me sad that UW is going to be losing that.
Yeah.
I mean, University of Waterloo already makes me a little bit sad.
Yeah.
Because
I could build their own building, though. Like, they have such a massive campus. It's time to do something different.
It's true. Maybe this this is good.
Yeah.
It's a chance for something different. UW, you deserve better, all right? You deserve happy students and a place where you can all be happy together. We are going to be moving on, though. Winter Carnival. Ooh, it's almost like we wrote about this couple weeks ago. So we were all excited for Winter Carnival. We were all excited for our social event, Laurier's annual week-long event, Winter Carnival. Unfortunately, it has been canceled before the final events of their program, which was supposed to include a lip-sync battle, as well as their closing ceremonies and closing celebrations. So a meeting was called last Saturday afternoon to discuss the events and why Winter Carnival had been canceled. So many of you may be very interested to know why your drinking and your festivities have been cut early, and we are going to let you know. So the initial news of the cancellation was spread to students through the Spotted Laurier Twitter page, where a lot of news seems to get spread when someone asked why Winter Carnival was being canceled due to the actions of one team. So a thread on Reddit speculated that one team was performing some sexist and racist chants, which would allegedly be a breach of the contract that Winter Carnival participants have to sign when they agree to the programming. Now the Cord, in their effort to get some coverage on the story, reached out to Elmira Bus Lines, whose employee allegedly voiced their concerns about this event for a formal comment, but they did not respond at the time of publishing. And this, unfortunately, is not the first time that Winter Carnival has come under some scrutiny and some controversy. So an incident in 2007, and I was shocked when I found out about this, sparked a lot of controversy Canada-wide. The Globe and Mail reported on an incident when an around-the-world-themed event saw 15 white students parading around campus in blackface, dreadlocks, and sporting Kentucky Fried Chicken buckets as helmets, as they were dubbed Team Jamaica. Oh my goodness. Laurier, I am ashamed.
I'm ashamed, but not shocked.
I am not shocked, but oh my goodness. What is wrong with you people? So the Winter Carnival programming has been around since 1960, making it 59 years old, and used to include events like a beauty pageant that was removed from the programming due to several controversial conflicts. I definitely understand why something like a beauty pageant would be removed, because I think they've been falling out of
favor
mm-hmm. recently, mm-hmm. definitely, with how people feel about them. But the programming now includes events like dodgeball tournaments and attending the women's hockey game on Friday night instead. The last day of programming was canceled due to the allegations, though many teams apparently still celebrated their seventh day unofficially as they threw house parties instead. A lot of teams felt it was unfair that the programming they paid for was canceled due to the inappropriate actions of one team and wanted to get the full Winter Carnival experience. Now, I don't necessarily know how much I feel for people who feel like, oh, we should get a refund back for it, because it was just one day.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate, but I don't...
It's not that bad.
It's not that... Mm-hmm. Like, if it had gotten canceled on the second day, I'd say, yeah, no, for sure. They deserve mm-hmm. a refund, but yep. I mean, you've already had 6 days of drinking. Do mm-hmm. you really need a seventh? Mm-hmm. Anyways, maybe I'm just crazy. So the Students' Union, who organizes the event, provided an official statement to the allegations, which I will read. Nikki Corliss writes, "We are now aware that while in transit into both yesterday's mystery event and the hockey game this evening, several teams participated in the singing of clearly inappropriate chants. The Students' Union and Winter Carnival leadership have zero tolerance for this repugnant language and conduct. It is evident from this unfortunate episode that the Students' Union must play a more active role in educating volunteers and participants about language that normalizes degrading and sexist attitudes. This culture of disrespect disgraces the superb Laurier student experience we all work so hard to build. As a result of the seriousness of this incident, we are canceling the remainder of Winter Carnival. There will be no lip-sync event, no closing ceremonies, and no closing celebrations tomorrow. In spite of this very regretful, abrupt end, the Winter Carnival team would like to thank you for the spirit, dedication, and energy you brought to this week. It is our hope that this can be a learning opportunity for all of us. We must strive to do better." So there have been no further discussions on whether or not Winter Carnival will be continued next year after this incident, or if the teams participating in the inappropriate chants will be facing any consequences. So those chants, I have heard unconfirmed rumors But I believe some of the chants included stuff about consent.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember any of those?
I don't know any of the chants, but I know it was... I think there was a comparison made to the homecoming flag that was put out with yes. the...
Yeah, no, it was stuff the, like the daddy it was like no consent chants.
Right. Yeah.
And then
cuz I think there's also a response in the concourse Ellsberg put up a Laurier loves consent or something like that, and that was after this came out about
Yeah. But oh my goodness, the chants.
I think it's interesting that it came about, like this thread came about in Reddit as well. I follow the Laurier Reddit.
Yeah, I do as well.
It's not always the nicest environment I've found.
A little toxic sometimes.
And people started commenting about freedom of speech. And so like that kind of shows just a little bit how toxic it is, because this is pretty toxic speech.
It shows the online climate,
right.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's kind of an interesting example right now. I've heard Winter Carnival called the Drunk Olympics as well.
Oh, the Drunk Olympics. I like that.
It's a pretty Laurier sport, but yeah.
I've heard it called like the Winter Frost Week, so Frost Week.
Right.
Yeah. I like that as well. Mm-hmm. The Drunk Olympics, that's pretty good. Yeah. No, I mean, I don't want Winter Carnival to be canceled over something like this, but you do kind of have to look at it and say, is it not just another excuse to drink?
Mm-hmm. But it seems to be a little bit worse than that, because the story talks about the history and the other, like, so the beauty pageant and then the 2007 incident. So there does need to be a little bit more regulation, maybe a little bit more authority over top of it, because it's been, and then I think it was an interesting question at the Waterloo Open Forum about the clique that is Students Union. And that is also a big part of the Winter Carnival. It's the same types of people.
The sort of bubble.
Right, the bubble that has been of formed. The Students Union culture. And I think breaking that a little bit would be great as well.
That would be great. Might because open up what happens when those people leave the Students Union, right?
Right.
There's going to be a big, like, empty cavern.
Well, they do. I know they replenish themselves. Like, it's the same people that do breaking for
Icebreaking.
A week and stuff like that. And so they have a very tight friendship, and there's a very tight
very
event.
Close-knit.
All
that's
all
great.
Friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then I think it also leads to that clique mentality, and then it's the same traditional, problematic traditional behavior.
For sure. Yeah, no, another unconfirmed thing, but I've heard it's also incredibly difficult to get into certain teams for Winter Carnival. And some of them include kind of...
expectations for how much you can drink and stuff like that.
Some hazing as well. I've heard unconfirmed reports of hazing.
Yep.
Like I think I remember seeing, I swear I remember seeing streaking last year. I don't know if that was connected to Winter Carnival or if it was unconnected.
Regular Laurier
just
night.
Just a regular Saturday night. Maybe it's connected to a frat, but I wouldn't be surprised if streaking was involved in that process as well. But again, unconfirmed.
Yeah.
We're going to be moving on to the next, a little bit nicer. The annual women's rally marches in Waterloo. This is a better topic. Well, I mean, better, not really better. The reason why, I'll explain later. So on Saturday, January 19th, women from all over the world rallied together in support of the Women's March, including a march that took place here in the Waterloo region. So hundreds of women marched from Waterloo Square in the heart of Uptown Waterloo, marching to Carl Zahr Square in Kitchener, where the march ended with speakers, booths, and other performances. The reason for the creation of the Waterloo chapter for the Women's March was to ensure that women in the KW region had a march they could attend instead of having to travel all the way to Toronto, which is it the largest in Canada? The Toronto?
The one in Toronto?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
yeah. So
in Canada, yeah.
It's like a mini Toronto. Makes sense. So 2017 marked the first year of the Women's March. This would now be the third Women's March then, in retaliation to the inauguration of President Donald Trump, a figure who has had a number of controversial sexual assault allegations brought forward against him. So marches now take place on the same day, for the most part, all over the world to fight in general now for women's rights. The theme for the marches this year was ending violence against women, as the World Health Organization had found that 1 in 3 women has been sexually or physically assaulted in their lifetime. In attendance were groups like the Sexual Assault Support Center, also known as SASC, the Muslim Coalition of Women, the Shore Center, and the Indigenous Student Center. Participants this year were asked to wear a red scarf to recognize and honor the missing and murdered Indigenous women in Canada and the disproportionate violence they face in their lifetimes. That's actually something I kind of want to talk a little bit about. Mm-hmm. I only found out about that recently.
About what?
The number of missing and murdered Indigenous women.
Oh, okay.
We found
at the
out,
NASH event.
Yeah, at the NASH event. Mm-hmm. That's very interesting. What do you think about that?
I've known about it for quite some time, and I think that's part of the motivation for me to learn a little bit more about Indigenous students. And that's when I started like following the news about the Indigenous Center for Laurier and all the great things that they've been doing. Mm-hmm. Because it has been a really tragic and sad moment and history for Canada. So. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's been a point where I started and jumped into Indigenous news and Indigenous events and stuff.
Yeah, no, I definitely have to agree. I've said this before, but I definitely think there's this perception amongst Canadians that we've all kind of dealt with the Indigenous quote-unquote issue because, you know, we've recognized stuff like the residential schools. We're seeing them advocating more for their own issues, but seeing stuff like a disproportionate number of Indigenous women being abducted and murdered to the extent that there are major news outlets that are creating entire series about it and trying to investigate these cases is wild.
Yeah.
Like it's wild to think that these problems are still going on.
And it's because it's Canada, really.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Sudbury is the murder capital of Canada. I heard at the NASH conference as well.
Sudbury.
And that it's a very big problem there where women will frequently be abducted and all kinds of tragic things done to them. And it's like a story you would hear about like a scary city in America.
Yeah,
maybe
Detroit.
Like Philadelphia, Detroit, Newark, you know, you don't expect it to be in Canada. And then it's not also covered in the same way because it's dwarfed by the other
events all across the
continent, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's wild. So, just to finish off that story, the March in Waterloo was only one of the hundreds that took place last Saturday, and the Women's March Canada plans to hold other events throughout the year to continue the fight for women's rights. So, that's pretty. Have you ever been to Women's March yourself?
I haven't. Did you get to go?
No, I didn't get to go. I was very sad. I had to work.
So I got to see the pictures again. I saw them last year and this year.
I do want to try going to one.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it'd be a lot of fun, but I'm sure it'd be a great experience being out there.
I wonder if it would, though, too. I have no reason to believe it wouldn't be.
Yeah.
A positive environment. I actually haven't been to, besides the ones at Laurier in this area, I haven't been to like a bigger peaceful activist display, right?
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to experience it in general.
All right. We are going to be moving on now. We are briefly going to be talking about Laurier's student poll, also known as LSP. It is a sub-organization within WLUSIP, and we're going to be looking at some of their early potential election results. So if you are listening and you haven't voted, go out and vote, you silly. Come on. The Laurier student poll conducted a survey over the past week asking Laurier University students about which presidential candidate they are planning to vote for in the upcoming and nearly finished Students' Union elections. So the idea behind the survey was to get a bit of an early estimate on who might be one of the front runners to become the next Students' Union president for 2019-2020. The survey was conducted online and received a total of 147 responses from various undergraduate and master's students at Wilfrid Laurier University. So, like, not a lot, but honestly more than I was expecting. 147? Not bad.
I think the last one had 75, so this is an improvement on that.
That's double the responses. Good for them. So, out of the four presidential candidates, Claudia, I'm so sorry because I'm going to butcher her name.
Oh, boy.
Do I even attempt?
She's been okay with Director Claudia or Claudia.
You know what? Yeah. Director Claudia. I'm not even going to attempt it. I've heard her say it at least 5 times now.
We also did pick up an audio recording so that we would get it for video and whatnot.
I love you, Claudia. I'm just going to say Director Claudia. So much respect, but I can't. I'm not going to butcher it. She garnered the majority of the votes with 47% of the responses favoring her as the winner. Zamar Hakim came in second with 28% of the votes. Talha Naim and Ibrahim Musa finished third and fourth with 16 and 9% respectively. The survey also asked students some questions regarding their thoughts on the Students' Union and the upcoming election in general. One of the questions gauged students' interest level in the upcoming election. 51% of respondents said that they were interested in the election, 32% said they were very interested, and 17% said that they were not interested. So overall, 83% of people voting saying that they're interested in the election, that's pretty good, but 83% of 147 is not like indicative of the entire student body.
Right, yeah.
And when I think about it, it kind of makes me sad that only 147 people.
Because it's not as predictive as it would.
There's like 18,000 students. Yeah. That's like less than 1% of the student body.
But is it only a couple thousand or a few thousand students that vote in anyway?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Only 22% voted last year. Right. So if we take that basis, that's only a couple thousand students, right? Like 4,000 maybe?
Maybe. Yeah. I think about if you add up all the votes. I remember Tariq got 2,000 and something.
Yeah.
So altogether it would be, yeah.
Yeah. So, and of the 17% who said they were not interested, which would be 25 students, they said they were not interested in the election because they were in their first year of study. So the reason that for this could be that a lot of first year students are not as interested in the Students' Union because, for example, they might not have spent enough time at Laurier in order to be completely aware of what they do, their functions and what they offer. They might also not have enough experience with the Students' Union and their operations, unlike the older students, or perhaps they just feel uncomfortable voting due to a lack of knowledge about the Students' Union. So that is why people like us exist, because we have to let them know that they are important. The survey also showed that 65% of the respondents had voted in the election in the past. Voter turnout is a very, very big point of emphasis for the Students' Union every year, and will be very interesting to see the response this year and the turnout this year. They go so hard, like, every single year.
The presidents?
No, the Students' Union. Talking about, like, vote, vote, vote.
Right,
like, yes. And good for them. They've, mm-hmm. they've honestly tried to make it literally as convenient as possible.
Yep.
The fact that it takes... what, 30 seconds, you can do it on your computer.
Yep.
All you need is your My Learning Space
yep.
login credentials. You can do it right there.
Yep.
Boom.
Easy. I did it as soon as I got the email in the morning.
Literally. Yep. Yeah. It was so easy. There's no reason why you shouldn't be doing it. I mean, the way I feel, if you don't vote, you can't really, you have no reason to complain in mm-hmm. the next year.
Yeah, for sure.
If like you're not super happy with how things are going and mm-hmm. you didn't vote. I mean, I kind of see it the same way with provincial or
yep.
like federal elections. Yep. If you don't vote, why are you complaining?
Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting how big of a lead that Claudia has.
It is interesting.
I wonder if, because I haven't been here for mm-hmm. an election where there is a female candidate,
yeah.
and I just looked it up. Their only stat I could find was from 2010, but
yeah.
even then, Laurier had 61% women,
mm-hmm.
So a female majority yeah. student body, and I wonder if that has an effect as well. Should be kind of interesting. I don't know if we've covered the female vote before.
Mm-hmm.
So
it will be very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, I mean, I think the Students Union has had enough difficulty with female representation, even in the BOD.
Right.
But seeing a female candidate for president,
mm-hmm.
I'm definitely interested to see how that turns out. And if Claudia wins, she will be the first female. Wait, was the last female president in 2010 or the last female candidate?
I'm not sure about the candidate.
Okay.
I've only been here 4 years, and I know mm. there hasn't been in the past four. I know
no.
there's been other female candidates, and there has been a female president before.
Okay.
The 2010 stat was just that there's 61%. That was the last time McLean's looked at the male-female ratio.
Okay.
And so it was
really? 61. There was 61%
female
at Laurier? Wow.
Yes. Yeah.
That's really surprising.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think what it would be at now? I think it's a little...
I bet it would be higher.
You
a
think
A lot
so?
Of my classes are majority female.
That's fair. Mm-hmm. Well...
I guess arts
I'm,
might be
Yeah,
different.
I'm in arts, so arts right. might be disproportionately mm-hmm. female anyway, so that yeah. might be a bit biased. But the survey also showed that 65% of the respondents had voted. Oh, sorry, I already said that. finally, the survey asked students about how satisfied they have been with the Students' Union during their time at Laurier and how much trust they have in the Students' Union. So 50% of the respondents said that they have not been satisfied with the Students' Union. 59% said they have some trust in the Students' Union, 20% that they have a lot of trust, and 21% that they have no trust. So that's like, that's kind of sad.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. See, there's limitations when it comes to polls, right? Because there's almost a bit of confirmation bias
yep.
in it. Because like people who don't care, they're probably not going to vote anyway. So how many people are you going to get voting
mm-hmm.
who are going to say, I don't care?
Mm-hmm. I think we do get a couple hundred abstentions.
Yeah?
I mean, in perspective, that's a very small percentage
yeah.
of several thousand. But, there are people that will go through the effort of abstaining to vote.
Yeah. So, I mean, overall, the survey revealed a lot of very interesting things about how the Laurier student body feels about the Students' Union. So, did any of the aspects of the poll surprise or interest you?
Yeah, so Claudia stat for sure.
Yeah.
But I think the turnout from Waterloo Open Forum surprised me as well. I think there's going to be an increase in voters in general this
yeah.
year. It seems like the body, the student body, mm-hmm. is a little bit more engaged this year.
Yeah.
It could be because there's a diversity of candidates. Maybe Ibram brings in a lot more perspective because he's been saying that he's spoken to more than 1,000 students. So perhaps
who?
Ibram. He said he's personally spoken with a lot of different people. So
you know what?
Maybe that'll bring in a lot more votes from other sides.
God bless Ibrahim. You know, I personally, I'm going to stay impartial in this, but I will say one thing. Ibrahim, I think he's a wonderful guy. I think he's great. I feel bad for him because I listened to him at the presidential debate, especially when they got to the question of
Not experience before.
If you feel like an underdog.
Oh, yes.
And he was like, I know everybody thinks I'm the underdog in this. And I agreed with his answer that none of them are the underdogs because they've all been putting in an enormous amount of effort. But
from an experience standpoint,
mm-hmm. he is the underdog. Yep. I do feel like I want to be respectful, but I think he might have shot a little bit high.
Of course,
going for president,
you should probably have some experience before you go to the very
top. I think it's so ambitious that he's a second year and he's going for something so high
without a board of director
position. Without a board of director position, but I think it would have been smarter for him to go for a board of director position.
But there's like benefits, right? So that's what I'm saying. Like, I think it's just interesting and good that he did it at all.
Exactly.
So
good. At the end of the day,
no problems.
Good for him. Mm-hmm. He took the initiative to do it. I know in my second year, there would have been no way I would have even tried.
Right.
So he's got a lot more cojones than I do to do something like that. But I think even if he doesn't win, he probably has learned a heck of a lot
mm-hmm. yep.
just doing this. And I'm sure it's going to help him in the next year if he decides to do something else. Maybe, I don't know, maybe he'll try running for board of directors next year and then in his fourth year, go for president again. I don't know. Yep. That might be a good suggestion. But yeah, no, good on him. Good on him. Mm-hmm. But regardless, I'm so interested to see how the elections will turn out because there's so much division between the other three candidates. Claudia, I think, will likely get, I'm gonna assume she will probably get a disproportionate amount of the female vote. Do you think that's a fair thing to say?
That's a fair assumption.
I don't think that's an unjustifiable thing to say.
Right.
I do think Talha and Zamar will get a disproportionate amount of the international vote,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know who will get more of it. Who do you think?
That's a good question. Because Talha has been focused on it and
exactly.
very verbal. And I really liked his point about the tuition discrepancy and the increase. I think he broke that down very well.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't quite understand the first time I heard it, but then there was a question of clarification.
Yeah.
And it was about a cap on the number of or the amount of increase the tuition can go through.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was very clearly articulated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting to see, especially those two.
Yeah. I also... Are any, Talha is the only Brantford candidate, right?
Yes.
Yes. I would be interested to see how much Brantford representation he will get from that.
Yeah.
Especially because I saw his post a little while ago where he was basically at Brantford during like the polling
mm-hmm.
and he was kind of showing his disappointment for how few people were actually showing up.
Oh.
He actually posted that like, nobody's voting, you know, and that he wants to see more Brantford representation.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder, like, even though he is the sole Brantford candidate, do Brantford people even care enough to vote for him?
Right. I wonder. I think I might have the stats from last year, and I know in the next 24 hours I'll get the stats for this year.
Yeah.
But the percentage of Waterloo students versus the percentage of Brantford students, because Brantford is also only approximately 3,000 students, and then Laurier is approximately 17.
Yeah.
Or 15. So if the percentage is the same,
mm-hmm.
it could still only be a couple hundred, less than 1,000 Brantford students would still be 20% and less, right? So it could be proportional.
Mm-hmm. Imagine though, if every Brantford student voted for Talha,
and there's
be a landslide, landslide victory.
Yeah.
But none of them think that their vote matters, probably.
Maybe. Yeah.
Who knows?
Maybe there needs to be a little more education.
Yeah, no, I'm super interested to see how the votes go tonight. And if any of you are curious, tonight at Wilf's, The Cord will be covering the election results as we do every single year. So if you're interested, make sure you tune in very, very late tonight and hopefully not very, very early tomorrow because we will be publishing the results as soon as we find out. We're going to write up a little story for you guys to let you know because I'm sure you're all very interested to find out and so are we. So make sure you stay tuned. because in a couple hours, we're all going to know who our next student union president is. We are going to be moving on, though, and we're going to be talking about the students union presidential candidate dishes. So it is that time of year again. Golden Hawks election season is nearly finished, and that means that each candidate's presidential dishes are almost gone. So every year, the presidential candidates for the Students' Union election create their own custom dish for you to order off of the Wilf's menu for $13.99, and a group of the court staff gather together to taste each dish and give them a rating out of 5, taking into account presentation, name, taste, and overall creativity. So in order from highest to lowest, Zamar's Fries from the Skies got a 4.5 out of 5. Claudia's Fantastic Fajitas got a 3.5 out of 5. Ibra's Boneless Bites got a 2.5 out of 5. And the Tahalit got a 2 out of 5. So once the Wolusu president is chosen tonight, that winner's dish will stay on the Wilf's menu until next year's inauguration. So let's talk about the presidential dishes a little bit.
I think I want to order the Boneless Bites, Ibra's Boneless Bites. I saw the video, and I think they looked really good. I would probably mix it all up to get the rice have a little bit more flavor.
This is how I feel about the Boneless Bites. I think it was the most uninspired of the dish. Mm-hmm. I think it was probably the most lackluster of the dishes.
Right.
But it's probably the dish I would have the highest chance of ordering myself. Because they were very good. I got to taste them after the video was done. And I ate every single bite, and it's because it's just a very simple, tasty dish. And I know that was not Ibrahim's original decision for the dish. And I do think I agree with what the article says in that I think a little bit of sauce in addition to what is on the Boneless Bite, so just maybe even a little sauce on the rice before they put it on, would benefit it a lot because I think the rice tends to get a little bit dry sometimes. But I know Ibrahim's original, what he wanted was a milkshake.
Oh, yeah.
But they can't exactly have a $13.99 milkshake on the menu, so he had to change it. I mean, I know the kitchen manager at Wilf's, she wanted to make it like a really wild milkshake, like put a piece of pie in it or something.
Right.
Like something you'd see on Instagram and make it like a really crazy milkshake.
Like an entire dessert.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Like an entire entree in a cup, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like what they do with their fish bowls.
Right.
Like just something wild.
Yeah.
I would love to see that.
Yeah, me too.
But I guess it just wasn't actualized. But talking about some of the other stuff, the Fries from the Skies, oof. Every year, like whenever Wilf's has something comfort food related, you know it's going to sell well.
Mm-hmm.
So I would not be surprised if the Fries from the Skies got, like, ordered a lot this week.
Right. I wonder what kind of effect that has on voters. If it's a really good dish, maybe they're going to vote for this. Maybe that's the deciding factor.
You laugh, but the Spotted Laurier tweet that said who's voting for the Students' Union president based on their favorite Wilf's dish, I kid you not, I swear, a ton of people are probably going to vote for the president just because they want that dish to stay on the menu.
Wow.
And I'm willing to put money on it that there's going to be a couple people voting for Zamar just because they want the Fries from the Skies to stay on the menu.
I believe
100%. Talking about the taste though, they were good. Like loaded fries, can't go wrong with them. Personally, I don't like blue cheese. It's a little too pungent for me, a little too potent. So if I were to get them, I'd get them without the blue cheese and probably the hot sauce because I'm a little baby and I don't like spice. But it looked good.
Yeah.
It looked very good.
It did look really good.
And it's really good for sharing with friends. So like it's a great thing to just grab if you want to just share some, right? The fajitas, see, this is where I fall on the fajitas. I'm a little bit picky, but I like that you can kind of build your own fajita. And if you don't like something, you don't have to put it in it. I don't know if I agree with the choice, though, because if you've seen the picture, they have the bed of lettuce on top of the skillet, and then they put the peppers on it, and they put the chicken on the side. I don't know if I agree with putting the lettuce on the skillet.
Right.
I think it would have made it a little bit better to put it on just the separate plate, because then the lettuce gets a bit soggy, and I think that ruins some of the taste. It's great for presentation. I think it makes it look great aesthetically. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's fair. I think it could have, I like the fajitas. I think they could have been done a little bit better personally. And then the tahalit. Don't even get me started on the tahalit. I mean, respect to Talha because his original envisioning for the dish was like, his inspiration was something he made at home, like something that makes him feel connected to that idea. And he wants to share that with the students. And I think that's really noble. I think that's really great. I just don't know if I'd want to pay $13.99 for a glorified omelet. And
but the big question.
Yeah, but like, wait, let me finish my omelet rant. Okay. First. It's not even technically an omelet. It's more of a frittata because it's an open faced omelet that has the toppings on top of it.
Oh, okay.
So that's not really an omelet. It's more of a frittata. And as it said in the article, a clever name for that would have been the frittalha. Okay, now you can ask.
Which is so fun, though. Do you have your name picked out? Do you have a dish for yourself? It's hard to think on your spot.
It's so hard to think on the spot. But like, I love burritos. And I didn't mind Canwars from last year, the burrito.
Yeah.
But I think I could make it better. I think I could make it better.
Mm.
I'm a little bit pickier. But I would love to see a burrito in the menu because I'd totally order it because you can put whatever you want in it. You can make it your own.
You know, do you have a name for it though?
Oh.
Like an Aaron Heggie name?
I don't know. Can you do anything with like my name and burrito? If you can think of something, I will give you like, I'll give you a polite golf clap. But I honestly can't think of anything that would go with a burrito. Do you have anything that you might want to make a presidential dish?
I've been trying this whole time. I've been thinking.
It's tough, right? Honestly, I got to give the candidates you know, a little round of applause because they even thought of something. Because I've put a disproportionate amount of effort into thinking about this dang presidential dish. So
I was thinking Garrison's gravy fries. Because I like poutine a lot.
Garrison's gravy fries. I like
some,
that. I would
make some decent poutine Gary's loaded up gravy. With meat and lots of good stuff. Oh, man,
you could make a really good poutine, couldn't you?
Yeah, Garrison's
and their gravy is gluten-free and vegan.
Garrison's gluten-free gravy fries.
Look at that. You can make some wild stuff with that.
Yeah.
You could put all sorts of stuff in a poutine. Look at Smokes. They do everything.
Absolutely.
You could customize and make it your own. Ooh. How about, would you put crispy chicken in a poutine?
Oh, yeah. Oh. The little balls, the bites, the chicken bites, yeah. Like almost nuggets in your poutine.
Yeah. Maybe a little bit of bacon in there, too. Oh, ooh, yeah. With the gravy and the cheese curds.
I actually really like mustard in my poutine, too.
Really?
Yeah, a little kick.
Mm-hmm. Man, that's wild. Mustard in a poutine. Yeah. We're getting so off topic, but is mustard in a poutine good?
Yeah, very good. I think it was the Montreal smoked meat or something like that.
Okay, no, I agree. Yeah no, because...
It's like a sandwich with poutine.
Yeah, it's like sandwich. That's great. Okay, I agree with it then. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to try mustard in my poutine. We have time for one more, and this will probably take us to the end of our segment. Yeah. But we're going to be talking about the Gillette controversy and its newest advertisement. So this has been drumming up quite a lot of hate. And if you've watched the YouTube video... Don't go to the comments section, man. So Gillette recently published a short film ad titled We Believe The Best a Man Can Be. This is a change from their familiar slogan, The Best a Man Can Get. At the time of this broadcast, there are currently 712,000 likes and 1.2 million dislikes. The Gillette's attached commentary says, bullying, harassment. Is this the best a man can get? It is only by challenging ourselves to do more that we can get closer to our best, to say the right thing, to act the right way. The ad continues, touching on topics such as mansplaining and the phrase, boys will be boys, and it concludes by saying, the boys of today will be the men of tomorrow. So within the first couple seconds of the ad, we hear bullying, the Me Too movement, and toxic masculinity mentioned. Now, toxic masculinity is understood to be a set of behaviors and thoughts within the typical male gender role that are violent, aggressive, and disrespectful, particularly to women. And messages of men exemplifying this in their everyday behavior increasingly dominate media and now Gillette. So the question becomes, Garrison, how did you feel about this ad?
I thought it was great.
I thought it was great too. Yeah.
It's hard to
find
devil's advocate position here.
It's very difficult.
It's just a good ad. If there was like to remove all the controversy and I just look at it, and I'm actually a film studies major, so I've looked at a lot of different films. Oh, your film
professional
clubs.
Critique hit me with it.
It seems like it's just a fairly neutral, positive ad. It is positive. It reflects on the positive personality traits of traditionally male role, right? Yeah. And I think it's neutral in that presentation.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem to be super biased, but it is positive.
So I thought it was very clever that they adapted their slogan for it. Yeah, I thought that was such a clever usage of it. The best a man can be. So genius.
Yeah.
And like it begs the question, is there a problem with a company sending what would be considered quote unquote political messages like that? Is it even a political message? Because that's a lot of the comments I've seen.
Right.
I've been seeing a lot of the anger has been directed towards this idea of, oh, companies shouldn't be pushing, you know, the liberal agenda on people. But, like, do you see a problem with that?
I don't see. I think it's a type of people that are trying to find a very specific argument and then and use these points and create mm-hmm. them, right? There's companies that are entirely based on their environmental mm-hmm. process, and they're not advancing the Green Party's agenda. You know what I mean? They're just connecting anything that they can to try and to take away from this. There's something that they don't like about it. Mm-hmm. And so they're creating their own points, I find. I don't see them as valid on their own.
Yeah. You know? I mean, even if Gillette, maybe necessarily as a company, doesn't even believe in the ad that they created, like at the very least, it's a really good marketing tactic.
Yep.
Because the ads drummed up a lot of news coverage, yep. a lot of attention. Yep. And it's not for being provocative, like what happens in a lot of situations, it's for being progressive. So I think like at the end of the day, they just made a really smart decision from a business mm-hmm. standpoint. Mm-hmm. Like, and the fact that they can use an ad like that to maybe even do some good.
Right.
Like, yeah. I don't.
There's nothing. It's actually kind of surprising because the message is a best a man can be.
Yeah.
And it's like about, it's a positive for men. Mm-hmm. And there isn't some radical feminist party that's like targeting the idea that it's all about men and that it isn't equal or something like that. That isn't even part mm-hmm. of the conversation. It's interesting that it's all men that are against this ad that is supposed to be beneficial and positive towards men.
Yeah.
So it seems ironic that way.
No, for sure. Yeah. I don't know.
I think also the internet doesn't give a positive.
They tend to be a bit of an echo chamber when
it comes to these. It's not predictive of what's actually out there. I think the internet is a little bit more
The cloak of anonymity allows people to be real dinks sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the people that would enjoy that ad are probably out there living it, and the people that don't are the ones not, you know?
Yeah. So I just think like if you get disproportionately mad about it, methinks the lady doth protest too much. That I feel like there's got to be a reason for it. Right. You know?
All the Twitter things as well, where people retweeted the ad and then they took screenshots of their messages and their DMs and all kinds of hateful things that were sent to them and stuff. So I think like it's pretty self-descriptive that way.
Yeah. No, I watched the ad yesterday. It's nothing wrong with it.
Right.
No.
I mean, because there hasn't been that kind of controversy for an equivalent type of ad, I think.
Not in a while.
Dove has done other ones. And,
There's
been other ads that are of the similar
progressive
ideas and stuff like that. And they weren't necessarily targeted like this one has been.
Yeah. Even the article that the court wrote on, like they took the opposite stance that we are. And I encourage you guys to check it out if you do want to see the devil's advocate approach to it. But I can't agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't see progressive messages as being inherently political, and I don't know why people think they are political. Mm-hmm. I think morals and politics are two very separate things.
Yeah,
and I don't know why they come together so much. I could rant about that for hours, but no.
Yeah.
Do you have any final thoughts on it before we move on? Because
I feel a little worried about saying too much. So
that's fair. That's fair. Please don't add us on Twitter with hate speech, please. We're just very soft university students. We're just trying to give our opinions.
Well.
We're very soft liberals, and we'll cry if we have any sort of negative repercussions. So that does, unfortunately, though, take us to the end of the show. Thank you for all of those who tuned in to listen. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, if you like us, if you hate us, please don't. but if you have anything at all you'd like to say, if you want to get involved on the news team, you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. And thank you to the staff and volunteers at Radio Laurie and Wallusup for helping to make this program possible. Our music today was provided by Steve Day for Life. Have a wonderful weekend, Laurie, and we will see you next week. And make sure you head out to Wilf's tonight, 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock. The election polling will conclude. So if you're interested, make sure you tune into the court. And I will see you later, Laurie. Mm-hmm.
Stay golden and have a good week.
Yeah, keep up with the grind. All right, take care, boys. See you later. Thank you.